Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joining us in studio right now, former Dallas Cowboy, also worked for ESPN for many years, Darren Woodson. Darren has teamed up with Crown Royal to invite fans headed to the Cowboys game, the Sunday night game against the Vikings this weekend, to participate in the Crown Royal Purple Bag Project, where they have the chance to assemble care packages for veterans and active duty service members overseas. Darren, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
So how the hell did the Cowboys lose to the Jets?
Oh, man, there you go.
How did that happen?
I think the one thing about the Cowboys that we've seen is they've been inconsistent. They started off the season winning three straight games, and you know, I think there was a lot of hope and a lot of promise, and that offense was really humming. Dak Prescott was getting the ball down the field. This wasn't just a running game. You know, in the years past, they've been running the ball, you know, getting 5-6 yards, built behind that offensive line and Zeke Elliott. And we saw in the first three games that they really started throwing the ball, expanding the field, using Dak's arm to be explosive, and they were highly successful. And then all of a sudden, things flipped. And I attribute it as far as, you know, they lost three straight games. You can't blame it all on injury, but, you know, you play without your two tackles, your left and right tackle. You play without, you know, Amari Cooper against the Jets.
Sure.
And teams, hey, listen, good teams overcome injuries. They didn't overcome those injuries. And they fell short. So I'm looking at this team as far as what I saw against the Philadelphia Eagles, and they bounced back. They played with a lot of energy. They played with passion on both sides of the ball. I think that's the team that I would put up against anyone. It's just, are we going to continue to see that team? And we didn't see it against the Giants this past week in the first half. In the second half, they woke up and played extremely well. So, you know, I think this team has it in them personnel-wise. Just not sure how consistent they can be week in and week out.
They just, as you know, they just need to be playing their best football in December.
Absolutely.
That's when they need to be playing their best football, and they are the odds-on favorite to win the East. So I think that, you know, they're going to be a playoff team. There's no question about it. Then the question is, does the experiences from last year, does that allow Dak now to take him to the next step and get the big contract that everybody feels like he deserves? Do you think that he deserves?
Absolutely.
Let me put an arbitrary number on it. $35 million a year for, let's say, 6 years.
That's the asking price, though. Boom. I mean, that's where quarterbacks are going now. You know,
things have changed. I'm a little bit too old.
Yeah, with you on that one. But at the same time, that's the asking price for the quarterback position. I think, listen, I have a real estate company that offices at the Star in Frisco, and we overlook the practice field, and we can see the guys practice weekend daily and understand who they are. Dak Prescott sets the tempo every single day. First guy out there throwing balls. Even if they win or lose games on Sundays, he's the first guy out there on Monday throwing balls.
Love him.
The fan base loves him. Yeah. The players love him. I think his game is elevating. I think they're asking more of him. Kellen Moore in that offense is asking more of him to be the superstar quarterback that he can possibly be. Is he going to be Boomer Esiason and be the most accurate guy in the world? No. He's not.
Oh, thank you very much.
But at the same time, you're watching him make plays and grow into the role as a big-time quarterback. And I think that team has a lot of faith in him. I think ownership needs to find out a way to pay this man and make him happy because he is the leader in that locker room.
I agree. We're talking to the great Darren Woodson. You know, I agree with you. He should be paid. The question is how much is really what it comes down to. So out of all the teams that you played for, you won three Super Bowls in Dallas. Which was the best team you thought that you had? What year?
92.
92 was your best
92,
team.
Top to bottom.
I will tell you one thing. You came into the Meadowlands. We played you when I was with the Jets in 93. Yes. It was like a wave. Like the defense was like a wave. You had like 10 defensive linemen.
Yes.
They only played each half the game. So when the fourth quarter started, it was like they were fresh and ready to go. Our offensive linemen were on the field the entire game battling.
Right.
What seemed like 10 deep, I think it was 8 deep defensive linemen. But it was a tremendous team. I mean, one of the great. It has to be one of the greatest teams. You think it's one of the greatest teams?
Absolutely,
the NFL's ever seen?
Absolutely. I think just from top to bottom. I mean, you mentioned the defensive line would rotate in and out, and we just had so much depth. I mean, you had personnel that I think teams could match up with us. You know, personnel wise, maybe first team, but then our second team wave that came in matched that first team, and Jimmy Johnson did a great job of hiring the right coaches, the Norv Turners, the Dave Wonstadts, the Butch Davises, the you know, Dave Campbells, guys, coaches that ended up becoming head coaches down the line. And he did a great job of delegating and being able to control personalities. Michael Irvin, you know, was a personality.
Oh, yeah.
Nate Newton, Charles Haley. He was able to control those personalities and push the right buttons when we needed to. And I'm a firm believer Jimmy Johnson's a Hall of Fame coach, and he needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Now, 92 was your rookie year. You're saying that was the best team that you were on. What was that like trying to integrate yourself into one of the great teams as a rookie?
It was, you know, it was almost like you throw meat out there and the dog's got to hunt. And I remember Jimmy saying to me personally, look, if you're going to play, you better show intensity during the week of practice. And any given day, like you, if you had a bad practice, your job was on the line. Period. And I was a guy, I didn't start my rookie year. I was upset my entire rookie year because I was not a starter.
Who was the safety in front of you?
It was Thomas Everett, who they brought in over
Thomas
the Steelers,
Everett
and
Steelers,
James Washington was the other safety. And I was a third or fourth guy. They had me playing nickel. I was covering tight ends and slot receivers my first game and my first year. And it was in practice where we were talking all the time about, you better, if you want to keep that job, you better practice hard. So, you know, it was a tough situation.
Who was your best teammate or your favorite teammate?
I had so many of them, man. I mean, you know, Brock Marion was one of my best friends. Kevin Smith, the guy I came in with my rookie year. Larry Brown, Tony Tolbert. Deion Sanders. And listen, people always, you know, Deion, you know, you spent time with Deion.
Oh, I spent some time with
you. You talk about a personality.
Yes.
You talk about, you know,
a lot of energy.
Lots of energy.
What does
comedian.
Deion say about Boomer? Do you have any?
It was funny. We were just talking about this morning because it's come out that his name has surfaced in regards to the Florida State head coaching job. What do you think about that?
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I had no idea. Yeah. Look, I know Deion's been coaching in Dallas at Trinity Christian for the last couple of years, coaching his son, as a matter of fact. His son's going to be a kid that's going to get, you know, recruited heavily and play somewhere. But he has a passion for the game, and he wants to be involved. And I think that's, you know, if it happens to go that way, then, hey, he's a Florida State alum. And, you know, I know he would definitely want to be involved.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Willie Taggart, the previous coach, was saying that he had conversations with Deion about becoming the defensive backfield coach.
Oh, wow.
But I don't see Deion doing that.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, Deion wants to be the head coach.
If you're bringing Deion in,
he's
going to
be the head coach. He's got to be the guy.
So what's going on with the Hall of Fame here? I mean, you're a guy, you're a three-time Super Bowl champion. You're 5 Pro Bowls, 4 first-team All-Pros. You are in the Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor. That's not like the Arizona Cardinals Ring of Honor. No disrespect for him, but the Dallas Cowboys Ring of Honor, right?
Take a shot at you, Boom.
Yeah, that's right. He always says, they're
I was going to go Bengals, but I thought that the Cardinals was not as bad.
Well, the Bengals don't have a Ring of Honor with anybody, so don't worry about it.
So, I mean, I have to think that you're a guy that's close, right? I mean, what's going on?
Well, you know, listen, you know, I don't make the decisions. I wish I did. I wish I had, you know, could make those decisions. But look, you know, when it happens, I honestly feel like it's going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
Not sure when, but I just can't get myself. Look, there's so many guys that are deserving to get into the Hall of Fame. You know, I played with and against guys like, you know, Leroy Butler, who was a phenomenal football player. Carnell Lake, who never got the recognition. When I came into the league, I modeled my game after Carnell Lake because he played multiple positions. You know, I was the same guy. I played safety. I played
Like Rod Woodson.
I played the cornerback. I played the nickel guy, covered the slot receiver, covered the best tight ends. I mean, there was a lot that was asked for me. So I used to watch Rod and Carnell play at a high level. And that's what I model my game at. But I can't sit here and say, hey, look, you know, I deserve this or I should be this. That's, you know, the writers are going to make that decision, and I got to live with that.
It's a tough room, though. It's a tough room because talking to guys who are in there, one of the things that you probably have working against you is you were on one of the greatest teams that had multiple Hall of Famers, and then part of the conversation is like, we're going to put another Cowboy in, another 90s Cowboy in.
The Buffalo Bills won through this.
Yeah, exactly. I get it. But I would say my argument would be this. We won the first game, 52-17, right? We had 9 turnovers in that game. Mm-hmm. We won the second Super Bowl because James Washington and that defense turned the ball over three sometimes. The third Super Bowl was won. Larry Brown had 2 interceptions to close that game.
Defense.
We won. I mean, look, we won championships, and I get it. Offense played extremely well, and they much deserved it, but we did play some defense.
Oh, you did play some defense. You also played some keep away on offense, too. That was the thing. Everybody was so precise on offense. But when I think of you, you're a four-time first-team All-Pro. Not many people could say that. And that's the thing. I think sometimes guys get lost.
Yeah.
And guys get forgotten about, believe it or not. And I'm not saying you're forgotten about it, because I think anybody who's ever played against you knows what you stood for and how you played. We have guys like, you know, Joe Klecko and Kenny Anderson and people like that from yesteryear that just nobody even talks about anymore.
Exactly. Joe Klecko, man.
Right. This guy was a beast, man.
Yes,
you ask
was.
Any player that played
Absolutely.
Against him, they'll tell you. Yes. So I understand, but they're going to do this 15-person class this year. I'm sure you're aware of it.
Yes.
So it's going to be this 100 and year anniversary 15-person pro football Hall of Fame class. I can't see how you're not a part of that. How are you not a part of that?
I pray that I am, but I can't.
I know you can. And I'm not asking you to politic for yourself, but. Right. The thing about it is that this is a now blue ribbon panel.
Yes.
That is basically, it's not even the voters anymore.
Yeah, right.
Now, some of the voters are on the blue ribbon panel, so there is some controversy that is tied to this. But whoever the blue ribbon panel selects, they're going in. Mm. There's no vote.
See, I know. I'm learning something
right now. So I would think, given your history, I'm not on the blue ribbon panel, but I will say, given your history, your success, and everything else, I don't know how you're not on that list.
Can we put you on that blue ribbon
panel? I don't know how you're not on
that list. Is Jerry Jones on that blue ribbon panel? I think he would help out, too.
And I think one of the reasons they're doing this, at least the cynical part of me says, is that this way they can get Paul Tagliabue into the Hall of Fame without any fight against him. For whatever reason. I'm not... Every single one of you guys has merit, and every single person that they put in, as you've just said, we'll have the background and the justification to be put in.
Exactly.
But it's under a different set of circumstances than the previous enshrinees. Yeah. That's going to be the controversy.
Exactly.
Talking to Darren Woodson here with Crown Royal, and we'll talk more about what's happening in Sunday Night Football with the Cowboys and Vikings and the Purple Bag Project in a second. You being a Hall of Fame caliber defensive back, we have a guy who believes that he's that already with the New York Jets. And Jamal Adams, and there's been a lot of controversy around him.
Dallas.
Right, who is from that area. There was some rumors there of trades, whatever. I think he's on the same page now, finally, with the Jets. So I need a two-part question. One, Jamal Adams on the field.
Yes.
What do you see from him
in
the future? And also, the way that he sort of handled this whole trade situation. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, let's start with the way he handled the trade situation. I think the Jets GM, and you know his name, I can't remember.
Joe Douglas.
He handled the situation the right way. He's got to field calls. Mm-hmm. You have to field call. He's got to do his job. And I don't think as players we can get emotional in that sense. It has to be – look, Jamal Adams has to get over it. Mm-hmm. He's a great football player, and teams are attracted and want him. And that's a positive.
Especially with the team that he's playing on is not doing well and it's got a new coach. So the environment could be there for change.
Yes, exactly. So he should be honored in the fact the team like the Dallas Cowboys is making the call and saying, hey, look, we want you. You know, and other teams probably the same way. I look at this kid, and I think he's a phenomenal football player. I don't know him. Have never met Jamal Adams. All I can do is turn the film on and see the way he carries himself. And he carries himself like a superstar football player, a leader, a guy that plays with tenacity, a guy that plays with energy. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of Brian Dawkins in a lot of ways. With, you know, the energy that he played that he plays with and the you know being available on you know every Sunday and a guy that just you know win lose or draw you know that what you're gonna get and you want a guy like that. The Cowboys are missing a player like that.
That's that type of personality,
a guy who's not gonna back down. Yeah, will he make every play? Probably not. Will he be a liability probably in passing game? Maybe so. But a guy with that energy, they already have that guy on the offensive side of the ball in Dak Prescott. They don't have that guy on the defense side of the ball. He is a guy that could come in. Jamal Adams is a guy that could come in into that Cowboys locker room and demand respect and not be the most liked guy and probably won't even care to be, but you know on Sunday what you're going to get.
Now, we talked about Deion earlier, and Deion does a thing where he mentors players and something's going on with a guy, will call him up. The way you're talking about Jamal Adams, with your career and your respect that you garner for just being you and what you've done in your life, do you ever think about calling a guy like Jamal Adams and being like, man, like, what you're doing here, just trust me on this one. Is it? Because if I'm Jamal Adams, I'm listening to you.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, but he's probably got a million people calling him saying that.
Sure, but they're saying bull crap. You're saying what needs to be said. You know what I'm saying?
Man, you know, I haven't met him. I know he's a Texas, he's a Dallas kid.
Right.
Lives in Carrollton. You know, hopefully I can meet him this offseason. I just watch his game and appreciate his game, but. You know, listen, I'm sure there's a lot of people in his ear. If I ever catch him alone and he and I can have that conversation, I probably would impart that on him. But, I'll watch the Jets basically to watch him play at times.
Yeah, I don't think people realize just how good you were and how great the teams were that you played on. That's the thing. I mean, it's truly – it was a pain in the ass playing against you guys. It is like, you know, people always say, like, who was the best defensive back you ever played against? For me, I saw Rod Woodson a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw him at three different positions.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw him playing hybrid linebacker, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was like your team. Everybody was like your size.
Yeah.
Like, your linebackers were your size.
Exactly.
Everybody was, like, you go out in the field, you have four behemoths in front of you, and then everybody's running around, like, at a 4.6 40, 4.5 40 pace, you know.
That's offensive for 4.5. That's very offensive.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You weren't a safety. You weren't a DB. But it was incredible how fast they were.
Yeah.
But they weren't very big. You guys weren't a big team.
No, we're undersized, fast, and again, you know, the waves just brought a ton of waves at you with that defensive line.
All right, let's talk about what's happening on Sunday night, Cowboys-Vikings, the Crown Royal Purple Bag Project, where you have the chance to assemble care packages for veterans and active duty service members overseas. So it's a perfect game to be doing it right in the Salute to Service Month with the NFL.
Absolutely.
As well.
It's the season of giving, and it's, the Veterans Day is coming up on Monday, and the Crown Royal Purple Bag Project will begin this Sunday, November 7th, November 10th.
Yep.
This week with the Dallas Cowboys playing the Vikings at Cowboy Stadium. One thing you're going to see is outside of Gate A, Crown Royal has a bar inside Dallas Cowboys. Right outside that bar, Gate A, at between 4 and 7 p.m., Crown Royal will be giving out bags. Basically, you can come in, just show up. Mm-hmm. You don't have to bring anything, show up. You can fill the bag up, and we'll send those bags overseas to our military veterans. And that's why I'm here today, is to support the Crown Royal Purple Bag Project based on that. They're giving away accessories to our military veterans overseas, and all you have to do is show up and help pack the bags.
That's awesome, and that's got to be a great feeling to know that bag that you packed exactly where it's going. So that's got to be a rewarding thing for everybody who participates. Darren, it was a pleasure having you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me,
guys. Great talking to you. Hopefully I'll hear your name.
You need to get on. Yeah, you need to get
both
on your boy.
Everybody. That's all. Hang on there, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.